The following is a class given on Rathyatra Day by His Holiness Jayapataka Swami on 12th of January, 1992 in Madras, Tamil Nadu, India. The class begins with a reading from the Bhagavad Gita, 9th chapter, 32nd verse.
Since there's only a few people who don't understand English, so Sumita Krishna is going to give a simultaneous translation in Tamil for those that need it. I'm sorry, Kancham Kancham. I only know a little Tamil. I like to learn. Vanakkam. I've been asked to speak tonight on text 32, chapter 9 of the Bhagavad Gita. Mang hi partha vyapasritya ye pesyu papayo naya striyo vaisyastata sudras te piyanti param gatim. Translation. O Sanaprita, those who take shelter in me, though they be of lower birth, women, vaishyas, merchants, and sudras, workers, can attain the supreme destination. Purport. It is clearly declared here by the Supreme Lord that in devotional service there is no distinction between the lower and higher classes of people. In the material conception of life, there are such divisions. But for a person engaged in transcendental devotional service to the Lord, there are not. Everyone is eligible for the supreme destination. In the Srimad Bhagavatam 2.4.18, it is stated that even the lowest, who are called chandalas, or dog-eaters, can be purified by association with a pure devotee. Therefore, devotional service and the guidance of a pure devotee are so strong that there is no discrimination between the lower and higher classes of men. Anyone can take to it. The most simple man can take shelter of the pure devotee and can be purified by proper guidance. According to the different modes of material nature, men are classified in the mode of goodness, brahmanas, the mode of passion, kshatriyas, or administrators, the mixed mode of passion and ignorance, vaishyas or merchants, and the mode of ignorance, sudras or workers. Those lower than them are called chandalas, and they are born in sinful families. Generally, the association of those born in sinful families is not accepted by the higher classes. But the process of devotional service is so strong that the pure devotee of the Supreme Lord can enable people of all the lower classes to attain the highest perfection of life. This is possible only when one takes shelter of Krishna. Then one can become much greater than the great jnanis and yogis. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta Swami translation and purport to text 32, chapter 9 of the Bhagavad Gita as it is. So, the essential aspect of this verse is Vyapasritya Mam. Those who take shelter in me, I will deliver them. Not only the erudite pandits, the great brahmanas, not only the kshatriyas or the great kings and rajarsis, but everyone, whether man or woman, whether merchant, whether worker, or whether someone without any spiritual culture, they can all achieve the highest perfection by taking shelter in Krishna. In the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna explains the path of karma, jnana, yoga, and bhakti. He explains to Arjuna the different ways of practicing these different paths in a nutshell, in a very concise way. So repeatedly, Arjuna was asking, which path is the best? I'm feeling a doubt. You have glorified both of the paths. So which path do you consider better? Bhakti or jnana? Then Krishna explained, sarvesham yoginam api sarvesham madgatinantaratmana satavang vajate jomang savayukta tamo mataha. Then in my opinion, that yogi who is united with me by constantly performing my bhajan, devotion, intimately united with me. Yoga means to unite, to connect, to come in contact with the Lord. So the Lord is saying that the process of bhakti is the best way of uniting with Him, the way of uniting most intimately. But there are many who find it difficult to follow the process of bhakti, because bhakti requires taking the shelter of the Lord with all sincerity and humility. And some people do not want to accept the supremacy of the Lord. So for them, bhakti is difficult. Dhritarashtra was a very exceptional person. But he had committed many offenses against Krishna and the Pandavas. So when his brother Vidura came back to see him, he knew it was hopeless to preach to Dhritarashtra to surrender to Krishna, because Dhritarashtra had been an enemy of Krishna and his devotees his whole life on different occasions. But Krishna is so broad-minded that even for those who are envious of Him, even for those who do not want to bow down before Him, He is still willing to have them be delivered from samsara, from the cycle of birth and death. And for those who are not able to surrender to Him, He gives other processes like yoga and jnana. So Vidura, seeing Dhritarashtra living in the house of Yudhisthira after the battle of Kurukshetra, he felt pity that here my brother is old and about ready to die. Now he should absorb himself in the Param Brahma, but he's still absorbed in the illusion. He said, "How are you doing, my elder brother?" And his brother was saying how things are going on in the kingdom. So Vidura could see he was still having the abhiman, the ahankara of being the Maharaja. He said, "You are still calling yourself a king?" He said, "Yes. Why not? Yudhisthira, the emperor is calling me Maharaj." So Vidura knew the Kshatriyas are very much in the mode of passion. Honor is greater for them than death. So he said, "You're eating the bits of food from the hands of the person who is responsible for the killing of your 100 sons. You're accepting praise from him as Maharaja. But you don't see that you are just living like a kept dog." Dhritarashtra says, "No, no, what are you saying? I don't have to listen to this." He said, "Yes, you don't have to listen because you're gradually going deaf with old age. Your teeth are falling out. Your eyes are losing, are already blind from birth. Your voice is getting choked up. Any minute you're going to die. Better you go to the forest. Perform Astanga Yoga. Meditate on the Absolute, the Brahma, and go back to Godhead." So Dhritarashtra, being stirred by these very harsh words of Vidura, he left the kingdom, left the palace, and he went in the forest and he did meditation until he burned himself up in mystic fire. It's very difficult for people today to do even what Dhritarashtra did. Dhritarashtra was advised to do that by Vidura because he would not surrender to Krishna. But for the Pandavas, for the other devotees, they don't need to practice the yoga system. They don't need to practice the jnana system. They read the teachings, they hear the teachings of Krishna, they directly worship Krishna, and Krishna reveals his mysteries to his devotees. Bhaktamam abhijana. To practice the system of jnana, the systems of karma, or the systems of astanga yoga as a means for self-realization. He told them, "You simply worship Krishna in pure bhakti, because by bhakti you can achieve Krishna. Krishna is only attainable by devotion." So the verse today also expresses the apastitya. You take shelter of me, my ashraya, my shelter, and anyone can come to me. Not at first you have to be born a brahmana, not you have to be born a kshatriya. Anyone, whether they're man or woman, whether they're businessman, merchant, whatever they may be, whether they're a worker, even if they are born in a sinful family, if someone accepts Krishna, they can achieve the highest blessing, the highest benediction. Simply by the touch of Krishna, one gains all knowledge. Prahlad was looking for God. He didn't know what God looked like. He didn't know where to find him. He went into the forest on the advice of his mother, looking for the Lord. He went up to the trees. Are you God? There was no answer. He went to the lions. Are you God? Are you Bhagavan? Rawr! Are you Bhagavan? He was fearless. He looked under the rocks. Are you Bhagavan? Are you Bhagavan? Are you Bhagavan? Are you Bhagavan? He didn't know where to find Bhagavan. He didn't know what he was looking for. All he knew was there was someone called Bhagavan who was the supreme, powerful, and he wanted to find him because his father had thrown him off his lap, and therefore he wanted to teach his father a lesson as a Kshatriya son, that he would have a greater kingdom, bigger than his father's. For that he was looking for God. Almost a childish purpose. But he was most determined. So Narayana sent Narada down. Help this boy. He wants to reach me. Teach him how to find me. If we want to reach the Lord, we have to go through the bona fide process. We have to reach him according to the system given in Shastra. We have to go through a guru in that guru parampara. In this way, it's very easy to reach the Lord under the guidance of a bona fide guru. When Narada appeared to Dhruva, Dhruva asked him, "Are you Bhagavan?" "No, no, no, I am not Bhagavan. But I am a messenger of Bhagavan." This is the nature of a true guru. A real guru will not say he is God, will not say he is Bhagavan. He is a messenger or a swarup or representative of the Lord. An ambassador from the spiritual world. So Narada told Dhruva, "You're a small boy, what are you doing in the forest? Go back to your mother. It's dangerous here, there's wild animals." But Dhruva said, "You either help me to find Bhagavan, otherwise leave me alone. I don't have time to waste. Will you help me or not?" When Narada tested the disciple, saw he was truly sincere to find Bhagavan, then he gave him the mantra. You chant the mantra, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. And Dhruva began to chant and meditate according to the system that Narada gave him. Within 5 months of following that process, very intensively, Narayan appeared before Dhruva. When Dhruva saw the Supreme Lord with a beautiful garland hanging down to his lotus, flower garland hanging to his lotus feet, with his yellow clothing, his Kastuba Moni, his four hands, Chakra, Gada, Padma, and Shankha, with his smiling lotus face, his lotus eyes, his beautiful crowns and decorations, earrings, his effulgence on all the sides, Dhruva became overwhelmed and fell down, laying flat like a stick before Narayan, offering his obeisances. Om Namo Narayanaya. Narayan touched his head with his shankha, and Dhruva became filled with knowledge and was able to offer beautiful prayers to the Lord. The Lord asked him, that you want a kingdom greater than your father, so I shall give you a kingdom. But Dhruva said, no, no, I wanted broken glass. I wanted a piece of garbage. Instead, I got the most valuable jewel, the priceless treasure, by having your darshan. Now I don't want anything else. Please, let me stay with you. Let me serve you. What is the need of a kingdom? It's going to finish anyway. This is the vision the great bhaktas get. When they realize the Lord, then everything else seems insignificant. So some people go to the Lord because they want something. Like Dhruva, he wanted a kingdom. Some people go to the Lord because they want money. Some people are inquisitive. And some are in full knowledge. But once someone achieves the Lord, they never come back again to the material world. Nabnubanti mahatmanas sansiddhing paramam gata. Once they achieve the supreme destination, they lose their interest with the material enjoyments, which are insignificant. So simply by the touch of the Lord, anyone can become pure. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught the science of Naam, the holy name. Naam Chintamani Krishnas Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha Purna Suddha Nitya Muktoha Minatva Nama Namino. That Krishna and His name are Abhinna, they are non-different. Krishna, the form of Krishna, or Krishna, the name, are all on the absolute platform. In the material world, there's a difference between the person and the thing and the name of the person. Just like if I feel thirsty, I may call, water, 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 tani, 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 jal, pani. But my thirst is not going. When I get the object water and drink it, it is much better. But when we call Krishna, 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 under the guidance of the Guru, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, we feel Krishna in our heart. Yesterday, some devotees were saying, while they were pulling the ratam, they were feeling a great inspiration, a bhava in their heart, simply by pulling the Lord's ratam. By serving the Lord, by chanting His name, by remembering His form, by serving His devotee, these are the ways we can connect with the Lord. This is the bhakti yoga system, Navavida bhakti. So there's no qualification of birth required in order to practice. Of course, if one is very learned, if there are great brahmana or a great king, there was a difficulty for them, they're very learned people, they can accept out of knowledge. But even a simple people, Krishna says, anyone, if they do take shelter of Him, He will deliver them. This is His promise. Krishna never fails. He's achuta, infallible. So Lord Chaitanya taught, we can take shelter in the age of Kali of the name of Krishna. We can chant Krishna's name all the time. Kirtaniya Sadahari, day and night.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. While waking, while sleeping, while cooking, anytime. There are no hard and fast rules, although there are guidelines, but there are no hard and fast rules. During that time of Lord Chaitanya, you know, that time people were being converted from Hindu Dharma to Islam by some various forceful means. There was once a very favored lord, one of the chief courtiers of the Hussein Shah, the emperor of the Panchagoda Empire in North India. It so happened that when the emperor was a child, he was under the care of this lord to train him to fight. And one day he was being inattentive, so he just gave him a hit with his whip, that lord, to wake up. This may save your life, you watch out. And that whip made a mark in his back. Later, that young prince became the emperor. And his queen noticed a mark on his back and said, "What is this mark on your back?" He said, "Oh, somebody whipped me." "Oh, really? Who whipped you?" "Oh, so and such lord." "A mere lord whipped my emperor. He must be killed." "What? He's like my uncle. He's like my father. He trained me. He was a protector. I was naughty. You're the emperor. How can anyone whip the emperor? I wasn't the emperor when he whipped me." "No, but now you're the emperor. He must die." "No, no, this thing, I can't. How can I kill him? He's like dear to me." But she kept insisting. Finally, he brought that lord and said, "I am very sorry, but the queen is insisting I kill you. I can't kill you. You're so dear to me, but I have to do something. Otherwise, I cannot disobey always the request of the queen. So I'm going to convert you to a Muslim." And he spit in a glass of water and he poured the water down his throat. He said, "No, no, don't do that." He poured the water in his face. Simply by pouring the water, now you're a Muslim. That was how simple. If somebody spit in a glass, threw it on you, you become Muslim. No philosophy, nothing. Just throw a glass of water, finished. Now, people are eating in a hotel, they don't care who they're eating. But in those days, if someone threw a glass of water, you're finished. That was the system in India. That's why there's 20%. So what happened is that lord, he went to the pandits, he went to Benares. "How can I get reconverted back to a Hindu?" They told him, "You just take 1 kilo of ghee, 1 sheer of ghee, you boil it, you get it smoking in the fire. When it's hot and smoking, steaming, you can drop 1 drop of water, it evaporates. When it's boiling ghee, you drink it and you'll be cured." "If I drink it, I'll die." "Yes, but you'll be reborn as a Hindu." I was looking for a different kind of solution. Thank you, Panditji. So he couldn't find a single Pandit in whole India who would give him a method how he could get reinstated, purified from this impurity of someone spitting in a glass and throwing it on him. He went to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, "What can I do to get purified?" The Lord Chaitanya told him, "Simply you say the name Hare Krishna. Repeat that mantra. All right, you're pure. No, no more problem. I accept you." Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted millions. So what is this?
You chant once the name of Krishna, you're pure of all the sins. The Lord Chaitanya actually was delivering the people. He said we have to be very careful to follow the Shastra and not the superstitions and the speculations that come up. Sometimes the ideas come which are not properly understood according to the time, place, and circumstance. Kal desha patram. Sometimes there are various things which are introduced which are not actually Shastric. One time there was a wedding party. Here we're in a Kalyana Mandapam, so you can imagine we're in a wedding party. There was a yagyam going on. There was a little girl being married to a... She was a small girl, 13 years old, being married to a young man. Next to the yagya there was... It was an outdoor yagya, not a Kalyana Mandapam. So there was a cat. A cat was screaming and making a lot of noise. So then, the Didi Sasuri, the mother of the boy's older sister, she found this cat was creating a disturbance. She told the local boys, you put a basket over the cat and just let it be quiet. So they took a basket and put it over the cat. The little girl saw this. Later she became a mother. She had a grown boy. The wedding was going on of her son. They're about to do the konya danam, the panigrahi. Then all of a sudden she said, stop! The yagya cannot go on. It's our family custom. When I was married, they caught a cat and put it under a basket by the yagya. You had to immediately find the cat, bring it here, put it under the basket. Otherwise the wedding will not be complete. Our family tradition will be neglected. So they went running in the neighborhood. Where's the cat? There's the cat. Running. The boys chasing, catching the cat, putting by the yagya, putting under the basket. Aha, okay. Now the yagya can go on. This became the new tradition in their gotra. Had to be married with a cat in a basket by the Yajnashala. Many things are introduced without understanding the practicalities, the realities and the Shastra. So there's this difference between the Vaishnava Acharyas and the smarter Brahmanas. This morning we were reading how Daksha, he could not tolerate Shiva. So he insulted Shiva's wife, his own daughter, Sati, until Sati, being offended, could not tolerate the offense to Shiva. She emulated herself with mystic power. And all hell broke loose. Later, Shiva, on the request of Brahma, gave back a head to Daksha, who had lost his head. And then Daksha realized that Shiva is a very great, magnanimous person. After committing so many offenses, he brought him back to life. And he offered his apologies. So Lord Shiva is considered Vaishnavanam Jatasambhu, the greatest of the devotees of Vishnu. But sometimes the smarta outlook is very rigid. The Vaishnava outlook is a little broad, so there may be some disagreement. When Lord Chaitanya started to chant Hare Krishna, there was opposition from the smartas. That you cannot chant the name of Vishnu out loud. This will destroy the Hindu Dharma. The name of Vishnu will become weak if it's spoken out loud. But Lord Chaitanya, he showed that there's nowhere in the Shastra says the name of Krishna cannot be sung out loud. The name doesn't become weak, just like the sun does not become contaminated when it is shining in the dirty water. It purifies the dirty place. So we need to get purified. The easiest way is we take shelter of Krishna. The final instruction of Bhagavad Gita is Sarva Dharman Parityaja Mamekam Saranam Vraja Ahantam Sarva Papebhyo Mokshishyami Ma Sucha. You leave aside all other dharmas and follow this dharma of surrendering to me alone, and I will deliver you from all the sinful reactions. This is the most important instruction of Bhagavad Gita. But repeatedly throughout Gita, Krishna is saying, take shelter of me, take shelter of me, take shelter of me. Finally, he says, take shelter of me and nobody else, and I will deliver you. But when somebody wants to take shelter of Krishna, the family members will say, why you want to do so much? Little dharma is enough. You're too young. Don't take shelter of Krishna now. Wait till you get old. But nowadays, there's any guarantee how long we're going to live. Who can say we're going to live to be 100 years or 70 years or how many years? Death can come at any time in Kali Yuga. There's no set system. We need to begin the practice of bhakti yoga as early as possible. Prahlad Maharaj recommended Komarama Charet Pragyo, beginning not too early, only after 5 years of age. Anyone less than five doesn't need to practice. Only over five. If there's anyone here over 5 years of age, then you can begin practicing now if you have not already begun. But people, we continually find that even if a 40-year-old man or woman chants, the elderly parents say, why so young? If a 20-year-old chants, they say, why so young? But if we don't practice, how will we continue? It's not possible all of a sudden when we grow old to suddenly change our whole way of thinking, change our whole outlook on life, and suddenly take shelter of Krishna. We need to take shelter of Krishna throughout our life. We need to lead a life with Krishna as the center, as the shelter for the devotee. So the bhakti process doesn't mean you have to give up the world. It means you see the world is Krishna's. We use the world in Krishna's service. Sita is Lakshmi. Ravana wanted Sita for his own enjoyment. But Hanuman wanted Sita to give Sita back to Rama. If we see the world for our enjoyment, we get entangled in the karmas. If we see this world as the energy of Krishna, I should use it according to Krishna's instruction. There's no entanglement. So Krishna gives the guidelines. You do everything for me as an offering. Whatever you eat, whatever you give in charity, whatever you do in recreation, you do everything as an offering to me. So we eat Krishna prasadam. Everyone is invited to take Krishna prasadam. We glorify Krishna. We organize the festival. This is not a one-man program. This festival, someone gave the hall, someone gave the chariot, someone sold the chariot, someone is giving the prasadam, someone is helping to print the notices. So many details are there. Entertainers are coming and dancing, playing flute to entertain you, to entertain Lord Jagannath. Someone is cooking the prasadam. And all of you are here to eat the prasadam. So everyone is doing their part. The system of bhakti is called yukta vairagya. To engage everything we have in the service of the Lord. In the service of Krishna. That process isn't difficult if we have a little faith in the Lord.
If we're like Dhritarashtra, it's difficult. If we're like Duryodhana, it's difficult. But if we're like Arjuna, or we're a little bit devotional, what is the difficulty? We just, today, should bow down to Jagannath, bow down to Krishna. Krishna, I decided to take your shelter. I surrender my life to you. From now on, I want to do what's pleasing to you. Lead me to a bona fide guru. Lead me to your lotus feet. I want to serve you. I've led my life so long simply thinking of myself. Me, me, me. Ahang mirami. And I suffered for it. Now I want to think of you. How I can please you because you've given me everything. If we simply offer ourselves to the Lord, He'll take charge of our life. He will lead us back to Him. But we don't want to surrender. We don't want to take the mercy of the Lord. This is our shortcoming. And as a result, we are suffering. So this is our Lord's request, His offer. He's very neutral. He said, do what you like. He told Arjuna, now you heard everything, now you decide what you want to do. Krishna is very neutral. You don't want to surrender to Him, He's not going to force you to go on in the samsara, life after life, punarjanma. But we devotees, we have the right to say, Krishna is the greatest. Krishna is the most merciful. Take advantage of Krishna's mercy. Now I'm seeing in Pongal season, so many sales are there. 20% discount, 25% discount, 35% discount, 50% discount. But where will you get such a discount? Simply by chanting, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Taking shelter of the Lord's name, you can achieve all the benefits of practicing karma, jnana, yoga. It's an unbelievable discount. Don't pass it up. Take advantage of the Lord's mercy. That's simply our request to everyone. And those of you who are already practicing Krishna consciousness, try to encourage others.